So tonight we want to talk about the priority of God. And in the process of talking about the priority of God, God's priorities, we really have to look at God's order of things because they go together. He has a particular order for things, and in that, he has laid out his priority. Our key scripture is going to be 3 John 2. Very powerful scripture that sometimes we take for granted and sometimes we overlook what it's really saying. So if we look at 3 John 2 in the New King James Version, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." If we want to look at the Amplified Classic, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way, and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers." So, you know, the scripture really has three parts to it. And we always think, okay, we're going to prosper in all things, we'll be in health. You know, prosper in finances, prosper in health, prosper in soul. But look at the way it's written. You may prosper in your finances and in your health as your soul prospers. So what is it saying here? We have to prosper our soul first. This is God's priority. This is his order of things. Once our soul gets prospered properly, then we're ready to prosper our bodies. And once our bodies are in good shape, then we're ready to prosper our finances. God's order. There's a way to do things. Think about it. If your soul's not prospering, you're an absolute mess. How's your body? And how are your finances going to prosper? If you can't even keep your life in any kind of order, it makes things go all kafooey. But when we do things God's way, we get God's benefits. And that's the only way that we should be doing things. And more as we grow closer to him, as we look to see, God, what is your way? Just focus on the word. Focus on the word. Look for priorities. Look for order. Look for doing things God's way, because that's the only way it will prosper. I know I've heard both Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle talk about, you don't just go and figure out this is what I want to do and then ask God to bless it. That's not how it works. We want to find out what God is blessing, and then we want to go along with that. From the very beginning, God has been a God of order and priority. Take a look at Genesis 1. "And God said, and it was, and it was very good. And God said, and it was very good." Over and over again, he spoke it into being, it was, and he was pleased with the result. Wow. 10 times he went through this in chapter 1. And that was his order. The order of creation was a very particular order too. It's like a painter paints a palette. I've often wished I could watch our dearly beloved Yoel paint some of her paintings. We've done just little bits of it. I remember when she was working on the one where the chain is broken at the bottom of the cross. And she finished that here in service under the anointing. She just let the Holy Spirit guide her. It really takes a particular way to do it. Do you paint the background first? and then the key figures? Or do you paint the key figures and then work out the background behind it? You see, there's a proper way to do it. There's a proper order. And when God created this world, He was setting it up for the crown of His creation, mankind, for you and me. He wanted this place to be very special, just a reflection of heaven. And it had to have all the elements and set up in order. And just one by one, He laid it out like a painter painting a palette and getting it all just right and getting the proper lights by day and by night and the land and the water and then the creatures of the sea and on the land and in the air. He laid all of this out. It was all done and it was all very good. And then He created mankind. And then He said, here, this is your setting. This is where you belong. This is beautiful garden. It's perfect here. It's exactly the way I want it to be for you. And so here was man coming in at just the right time because everything was done in the proper order, which was God's priority. God worked for 6 days, and then He took the seventh day off. My goodness, we should all follow God. I mean, it's one of the Ten Commandments, right? That we should have a Sabbath. And God did that Himself and set that example for us, leading us in the way that we should go because of His order and His priority. He set the example for us to follow. All laid out, and He made us in His image and in His likeness so that we have the same creative ability that He did as He created the world around us. We get to create our world by the words of our mouth. And the words of our mouth should be the word of God. The more we do, the more we have that beautiful, perfect life that God wants us to have, because He created each one of us with a perfect plan. He didn't just say, oh, okay, let me throw this one out. Okay, she looks good. Okay, he's cool. You know, it's like, no, I have these specific people. Everyone has a name, and everyone has a perfect plan. And in these last of the last days, this is part of God's plan too. This is the last part of this portion of His plan. The last days on earth before the millennium, which will be a new time, a new age, another dispensation. And we're winding up this one. And as I look around me, I say, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus, because this world is falling apart around us. And we're grateful for Jesus in our lives. We're grateful to know the things that we know. We're grateful to know that Jesus is the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Here again, God knew, He tells us in His word, He knows the end from the beginning. So when He created man, when He created Adam, he knew that he would become disobedient. Now, He could have made him a puppet. He could have programmed him like a robot and said, okay, here's what you're going to do. And he would have done it because that's how he was programmed to act. But God said, no, I want to make man with free will. I want him to want me. I want him to come to me. I want him to choose me and to choose to obey my word. And that will bless me. A robot doesn't bless me, but a man choosing his God, that blesses me. So here was God saying, okay, Adam's going to fall. We need to have a plan. So from before the foundation of the world, the word of God says that Jesus had been chosen already, that he would leave the glories of heaven, that he would become one of his own creation, that he would become a man, and that he would face all the same temptations that we face, that he would live by the Holy Spirit leading and guiding him, and by the Word of God, that he would read and study constantly. Those were his two guidelines for living as a man. And he made all the right choices. He resisted all temptation. He was the pure holy one that had the pure holy blood to sacrifice on our behalf. Isn't that awesome? How wonderful. What great love for him to give up what he did for us. I mean, he knew this from the beginning, from the creation of mankind. God was waiting for just the right time. He needed to give man an opportunity to obey him or to disobey. And with the disobedience, then came the time when God said, okay, I'm sending my son. It's time. It's time for you to go now, Jesus. And so this was God's order, and it was God's timing. You know, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, there's a prophecy regarding Jesus' sacrifice. There's a prophecy that says that, well, let's read it. Because I think this is wonderful. There's a prophecy, there's a fulfillment of the prophecy, and then there's a report of the fulfillment. So let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. God is very specific. And he says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, speaking to the serpent, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his feet. So this is a prophecy regarding Jesus. Many prophecies, and that's part of God's plan and purpose and order and priority. He wanted to make sure that there was plenty of word in his word that would tell us that Jesus was coming. And what he would do, there are prophecies all the way through the Bible about Messiah. He planned this ahead so that we could all know. And then in the Gospels, we see the fulfillment of the sacrifice. And in Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, we hear the report of the fulfillment. Quote, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Hallelujah. That's our Jesus. He is the Lamb slain from before the beginning of the world even. Wow. That's our Jesus. You know, I've been reading through the Old Testament, just really digging in and studying and making notes and highlighting. And Exodus chapters 25 through 28 include a very detailed description and precise order for the building of the tabernacle and every single item that was part of this whole thing. In the tabernacle, outside, how it was to be carried, every detail in explicit order. And I marveled as I read that and thought, wow. And that this material for this portion, and it has to be this size, and it has to be related to this and that. And everything was just laid out. And I know it has to be a reflection of what's in heaven to bring it into this earth for mankind to see. And I thought, wow, God is so detailed. He's so precise. He has his perfect order and his perfect priority. God says what he means, and he means what he says. So we need to pay attention when we speak the word of God It is the most powerful thing that we can possibly say. So let's go back to our theme scripture, 3 John 2. Again, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So again, let's look at God's precise order here. The soul has to prosper first, then the body prospers and we get our health, and then our finances prosper and our money comes through. You know, it's really good when it's in that order, because then we're in a proper area to do what God has called us to do. If our soul's prospering but our body's not, we might not be able to carry out what God wants us to do. If we're being physically challenged, that's going to be a really major hindrance for us to carry out God's plan, because he doesn't plan on there being distractions and hindrances such as sickness and disease pulling us down. He doesn't want that for us. Jesus paid the price. So he wants us to be whole. And then our finances, if we have the money, but we don't have the health, doesn't do us a whole lot of good, does it? I don't know if you all know the story about Aristotle Onassis. Remember that name? Jackie Kennedy married him later in her life and his. And he was a billionaire. That's with a B, like Boku Bucks. Very, very, extremely wealthy man. He owned, so many different things, including hospitals. He owned multiple hospitals, ran them. But you know what? He ended up becoming challenged with a very rare and incurable and terminal disease. The doctors could do absolutely nothing for him. The fact that he owned these hospitals and had some control over the doctors and the equipment and so forth, it didn't do him any good, because they had no cure for this disease. They could not help him. And guess what? He died. Leaving all this money and all these hospitals and all these yachts and all this wealth behind, because it didn't do him any good. And I can't say that I know that he was born again. I'd say it's probably likely that he was not, which is very sad. It's sad for anyone who dies not knowing Jesus. But then through Kenneth Copeland's ministry, we heard of a man whose name I don't even know. He's not famous. He's not wealthy. But he's born again, and he's spirit-filled, and he knows the Word of God. And he was diagnosed with the very same disease that Aristotle Onassis was. But you know what? This man knew that Jesus has paid the price for him to be healed. He knew that by the stripes of Jesus, he was healed. He knew that this doctor's report was an evil report, and he wasn't accepting that. That wasn't all about him at all. He said, no, that has nothing to do with me. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I belong to God, and this is my heritage. Healing is my heritage for my body. So his soul prospered because he was born again and spirit-filled and spending time in the Word of God. His soul was being prospered. So then he was able to take it the next step in the order and priority to say, okay, my body needs healing. Okay, God, I know this belongs to me. And then he got going with that. And you know what? He was totally healed. Totally healed from this disease, and was able to go on with his life. Now, he didn't have a lot of money. He didn't own any hospitals. He couldn't dictate to any doctors. He just didn't even bother with them. He just went to the Word of God. And he depended on God himself. And in the process, he was healed. And here's an example where having all the money in the world doesn't help you if you don't have God and if you don't have things in the right order. So this man now, he had his life in God's priority. His soul prospered, his health prospered, and he was able to move on and I'm sure make some money. So we keep remembering as we read through God's word, remember God is a God of order and priority. And what he has written in the order that it is for a very specific reason. And the things in our life must follow God's plan in order and the timing. Here's a real crucial point is the timing. You know, very often we want to jump ahead. And I'm reminded of Pastor Matthew's teachings recently about building a house and doing it God's way. And he was very specific about the order and the priority of what had to come first. And you need a strong foundation to build a house, to build the building. And the higher the building goes, the deeper the foundation has to go to be strong enough to sustain that taller building. And this, again, is priority. So you focus on the foundation. You know, shortly after I had moved to this area, they started building on vacant lots nearby. And they worked for 5 months pounding the ground, and they bring in dirt and they'd pound the ground some more, and it was just like earthquake all the time, every day. I just gave up trying to straighten up the pictures on the wall because they would crook it every single day as they pounded on the ground. And they were making sure that the ground was really solid and firm foundation in order to put the foundation of the houses down in order to build the houses. You know, it took 5 months for the preparation of the ground in which to lay the foundation. And then they laid the foundation, and within a month or two, the houses were built. The houses went up really, really fast after this was done properly. And the houses are still standing. And this is 30 years later. So you know that there have been challenges of different kinds with weather and things of the earth and the sky and the sea and whatnot, but they're still standing. And that's us when we build our house on the rock of Jesus Christ and we get it in proper order. So sometimes God will show us something and we get all excited about it. Oh, yes, God, I want to do that. Oh, yeah, that's great. And we're ready to jump on it right now. And God's saying, no, not yet. I'm telling you so you can prepare yourself, so you can plan ahead, so you can be lining up for what I want you to do. Don't jump the gun. Take the time to prepare properly, and when the time comes, I will let you know. And it will be that perfect timing, and everything will just fall into place. I know some time ago, I had a girlfriend who said, you know, you really love the Lord, and you know the word really well, and I think you should go into full-time ministry. And, you know, why not now? I said, well, you're right. I should, and I will go into full-time ministry. But the Lord has shown me that my ministry is to be a helpmate for my husband in his ministry. And so, and at this point, I didn't even know who my husband was going to be. I didn't know what the ministry was going to be. I just knew God was directing me to say, prepare to be married, which is something I had wanted all my adult life. Well, from the time I was a little kid anyway, I looked ahead and said, I'm going to get married. And you know, I knew that was the right thing, but I also knew that wasn't the right time. So here I was looking for Mr. Right. But it wasn't my primary focus where everything went to the side. I've known some Christians that have been just, everything's about finding a mate. You know, they go church hopping to find a mate. Or they join singles groups to find a mate. And I was like, God, you need to direct me. I need to know where to go, when to go, for my life anyway. But I especially do to be in the right place at the right time for this great meeting of my husband. So I would pray for my husband, and I pray for it like that, for my husband. God, you know who he is. I don't know yet, but I know you know. And Matthew 6:33, this was my job. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You make God your first priority, and God's priority your priority, and it will come to pass. And you expect, as you seek the Lord, to get the desires of your heart. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And you know what I found as I got closer to God, as I did more of the Matthew 6:33? I found that my desires were toward God, in his word, in his ways. And I realized that he was taking desires I had that were carnal, that may not have been godly, and he was replacing them with his desires that he was putting in me. And when he does that, then he says, see, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Well, if your desires become his desires, then he's overjoyed to bring them to pass in your life. So we do things God's way, in God's priority, in God's order. So I knew that I had to focus on God to find my husband. And, you know, it's kind of ironic. I was in a small church at the time, and I know someone who left that church to go to a bigger church so she could join the singles group in order to find a mate. And she did. But I wasn't led that way. I was led to stay there. And then I would go to a particular convention that occurred here every year for a week and just inundating the Word of God. And it was so wonderful. And I just loved it. And so every year I'd go there. And I got to thinking, wow, people are coming here from all over the world. Maybe I'll meet my husband here. Someone who's also born again and spirit-filled and loves God. Wow, wouldn't that be awesome? So, you know, you always just kind of keep your mind open. But you deepen your relationship with Jesus, and you keep walking with him and going his way. Lord, where should I go? What should I do? Who should I meet? And you develop habits that are godly. And I found that I didn't go out to seek this, but I found after a while that, you know what? I wasn't going to doctors. I wasn't taking medication. I wasn't going to hospitals anymore. I didn't have a need for that. because I was getting my healing from the Word of God. God was leading me through and teaching me. It's one of those things sometimes you don't focus on, okay, this is what I'm going to do, but suddenly you realize you're doing it. And that was wonderful. And then with the finances, every time the offering basket came by, I always had something to put in for that. During times when I was financially challenged, it was a very small amount, but it was something. I was a tither, and I was giving something over and above the tithe. I was giving God some seed to work with, seed to multiply back to me. Every single time there was opportunity, I gave. Well, what I discovered later was that my husband and I were on rather parallel paths, because these were things that God was also leading him in, going not just years, but for both of us, decades without doctors and medicine and hospitals, and then giving at every offering and expecting to prosper. And things like this that we were setting in motion, again, without even realizing that that was going to be for me to do it and what he was doing at the same time. But you know, it takes that goal. You have that goal, you're following God. Don't become impatient. Be patient. Wait on God. And waiting on God, remember, doesn't mean, okay, God, when's it going to happen? No. Waiting on God is like a servant, like a waiter at a restaurant, serving God, spending time with him, searching, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? It's important. That sounds okay. I've heard that before. Well, yeah, but what if I had left that church? Because you know what? I ended up meeting my husband in that same small church. What if I'd left? Would I have missed God? But God said, stay. So I stayed. But it was still a few years. And even after we started talking and started ministering together, it was still a while. But the Lord gives you the desires of your heart. And I'll tell you, your patience is well worth the waiting. Because when God gives you something, believe me, it is the best. Absolutely the best. Because God knows us. He knows what we need. He knows what we want. He knows the complement to us. And I'm going to tell you, this man that God gave me, he's the very best. Now, you may argue with me and say, no, I got the best. But we each do for ourselves, right? So God blesses us with the right partner. And things flow together, because as we came together, we found out, oh, you do this too. You haven't been to a doctor either. Oh, okay. You depend on the Word of God? Oh, cool. Just my kind of person. Praise God. So this was it. He was working with both of us to bring us together at the right time. If it's not the right time, it's not going to happen. Or if it does, it's not going to be what God intended it to be. So he prepared us. And when we do everything God's way and in God's order and priority, we reap the benefits. Now, I would like to read Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. So you get the feeling here from the wording that you're not supposed to go chasing after the blessings. We are God chasers. We look to God. We look to his word. We get to know him. We get to know his word. And we understand in each situation, even if the word of God doesn't say something specifically, it's, well, what would Jesus do? What is the character of the word of God on this particular situation? So all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Isn't that awesome? Because we obey him, because we seek him, because we make him our top priority, because we take things in God's proper order, everything falls into place. And my goodness, you seek God, and all of a sudden these things are happening to you, and it's like, wow, this is awesome, Lord. That's just the way he does business. We're opening the door for him to be able to bless us the way he wants to bless us when we do things his way. So that's wonderful. Now, as we talk about 3 John 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. You know that we can apply this to ABC schools and seminars and the methods. Everything that we do is straight out of the Bible. ABC is the ABCs of Bible, the ABCs of the Word of God, of biblical principles, of God's priorities and God's proper orders. Our souls need cleansing. God taught us about that. Our bodies need healing. We have the healing school. Finances, we have the prosperity seminar. All of these how-tos for us at every level of our need, straight from the Word of God. Now, we're coming up to Christmas, and God has a proper priority here. We already spoke about how God knew from the beginning that man would sin and that we would need a Savior, and that it had already been decided that Jesus would become that Savior. So here we are at that time of year when we celebrate the birth of Jesus as a person, as one of his creation. And we see how God has planned everything very specifically, his order, his timing, that he knew. So as he gave man time to fall from God's grace and God's presence, he had an answer. Jesus is the answer to every question, the solution to every problem. Excuse me. And in that perfect time, God sent Jesus to become one of his creation, to live to be that pure and holy sacrifice. All the preparations that were made, we look at every step of the way. You look at the wise men. God spoke through the heavens to the wise men who were known to be astronomers. They read the stars and they saw something different. There was one star that was brighter than all the rest. And they were drawn to that star. And they were drawn to follow that star from distant countries. Long journeys to bring them there. And my husband and I both recommend highly to everybody, if you have not ever read the book Ben-Hur, it is well worth reading. It's a very long, detailed book, but it is so anointed. Remember, the official title from the beginning was Ben-Hur, A Tale of the Christ, written by a born-again, spirit-filled man that just happened to be, was it governor of Arizona? New Mexico. Okay, governor of New Mexico during the time of Billy the Kid, I believe. And he wrote this book during that time. And the first, 100 pages or so, talk about these guys coming. This is part of God's plan and his priority. Having that star tell the story and draw these three, or however many it was. You know, in the Bible it just says wise men. Not sure where they got the three. Oh, I know, because there were three gifts. So they figured there was one wise man per gift, I guess. But there could have been more. But these men came from afar because they had warning, because there was a plan. God spoke in the heavens to the, through the angels to the shepherds. I mean, he put out the word. He's preparing the way. Joseph and Mary get to Bethlehem and there's no place for them to stay. But God found a place. Everything was planned. Everything had its order. Everything in priority. And what about when Herod met with these wise men? He said, oh, there's another king? You know, inside he must have been saying, how dare there be another king? I got to find out who this king is, and I got to take him down. Oh, there's another king. Oh, I'd like to go and worship him. Can you tell me where it is that you're going to worship him? Just very sweet and deceitful. Just trying to pull these guys in and get the information. But the men were wise for a reason. They sensed that they were not to go back that way when they returned home. So it was a period of time, and Herod just thought, well, I don't know, he's out there somewhere. They mentioned Bethlehem. So he decided, okay, it's been a couple years. You know what? I don't know who he is. I don't know which one he is. But he's a male 2 years old or younger. And so he sent out the word for his soldiers to kill every male child in Bethlehem, 2 years old and under. How awful. But Jesus wasn't there anymore, because God sent his angel to Joseph and said, you need to go down to Egypt for a season. I'll tell you when to come back. And he sent the wise men to bring these gifts, valuable money. Financially, they were well off with these gifts, able to take this money, travel to Egypt, and live there without Joseph working his trade of carpentry during the time they were down there. And then Herod died, and God said, okay, it's time to come back. All of this was preparation and priority. Every bit of the way God knew, God planned. And when we're in God's priority, things happen the way they're supposed to happen. Remember that God knows the end from the beginning, so he's the one we really need to find out from what it is that we're to do. You know, I love the title of that old TV show, Father Knows Best. And that applies to our Father God, because he does know best what is best for us. And we thank you, Lord, that we get to spend eternity with you in your presence because of all of this wonderful planning, order, and priorities that you have planned just for us, because he loves us so much. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Abba Daddy. We love you. Amen.